my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now my eyes are open and I see that it was grace that set my spirit free. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. And it was grace that brought me home. I'll never know just why he ever came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that bought my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace.
Goodness, Mrs. Garner, I checked my glasses. Okay, they're not cracked. See, many of you are too young to remember the old Memorex commercials. Good old commercials. It's either live or it's Memorex. See, some of you have no clue. So let's move on in the service today. Man, that was a high note, but that's good stuff, wasn't it? And thank God he did look beyond our fault and saw the need. You know, when Jesus died for you and I, all of your sins and my sins were all in the future. He saw them all, and yet he was still willing to take his place on the cross for you and for me. Did we deserve it? Of course not. Am I grateful? Absolutely so. And will I praise God for it? Absolutely. You know what? Come what may, I still have one thing to hold on to, and that is that not only is God good, but I have my salvation to hold on to, and not anybody, nobody can take that from me. Nobody. You know, people might rob you of everything else. They might rob you of happiness and joy and possessions, but they cannot rob you of Jesus that lives within your heart. Now, they try. Can't steal that. That's with you forever and ever. And ever. Take your Bible, join me if you would, in Matthew chapter 15 and Hebrews chapter 4. Matthew 15 and Hebrews chapter number 4. Matthew 15, Hebrews 4. All right, once you find your place, stand with me if you would this morning out of respect for the love of and the love for the Word of God. And let's take a look in Matthew 15. We're going to read a little portion, a story here, and then I'm going to go and read you a verse out of Hebrews chapter number 4. Okay, Matthew 15 and verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, and here's what I want you to circle, these two words, help me, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread. That's Israel. That's the Jews. That's the people of God. He said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, which is basically the category she would have fallen in as a Gentile. By the way, which is basically the category that you and I fall into, likewise, as a Gentile. He said, It is not meet that the children's bread be cast to dogs. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this now. And she said, what's the next word? You're right. That is true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That's good stuff, man. I'm telling you, good stuff. You know what I've been all these years? Just gathering little crumbs that fell from the master's table. You say he came to the lost sheep of Israel first. Why not us first? Listen, I told you last week, I don't care if he came to the Gentiles second, tenth, or hundredth. As long as I got in on salvation, as long as I got in on a trip to heaven, I'm happy, man. I've just been all these years of salvation just eating a little crumb that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now I want you to go back, if you would, and look at verse number 25. She said, the Bible says, Then came she and worshipped him, Jesus, saying, Lord, I've done everything I can think to do. I've taken her to every doctor. I've taken her to every person. I've done everything I know to do. She simply now came and said, Help me. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject using those two words, I need help. I need help. Father, would you bless our time together this morning as we open the Word of God and look at this incredible story. Have your will and way in our lives. Bless us. Open our hearts. Open our spirits. Those who may have a closed spirit today, open it through the power of the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God that lives within them. And I pray, Lord God, that you teach us something and guide us, Holy Ghost, as you promised that you would in the way of all truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the thanks and praise and glory for it now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Keep your place there in Matthew 15. We're going back there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Does your Bible say to help in time of need? Do you know the thing about it is God is offering help. You know, wouldn't it be a great thing if everything in life came with a complete instruction manual for success attached to it? Boy, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if when you got married, there was an instruction manual that came with marriage and said, this is what you have to do as far as to having a successful marriage. These are the do's, these are the don'ts, and you do this, and you'll have a successful marriage. Boy, it'd be great if it came with an instruction manual. When your children are born, wouldn't it be great to have an instruction manual tied to their toe? This is the instruction manual for success to raise this child. Or a manual that was provided on how to never, ever, ever, ever offend God. You see, unfortunately, there is no specific instruction manual for any of these other than your Bible. Now, most of us don't look at the Bible as an instruction manual. A manual that teaches us that God is offering help to us because there's some things we cannot do and accomplish ourselves. You see, most of us don't look at the Bible as an instruction manual. Here's what we look at the Bible as. We look at the Bible as a book filled with do's and don'ts that is impossible for anyone to fulfill. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people tell me, oh, that book, all it's filled with is with do's and don'ts. Yeah, you're right. But it's also filled with a bunch of help for you and I in our walk with God. You see, if God gave us every detail for success, then may I ask you this, where does faith come in the Christian life? Where does faith in trusting God come in? How will we believe and trust Him for His help if He did everything for us? You see, God knew how much help man needed. You know how I know this? I found it in the Bible because He gave him a woman and called her a help meet. So guys, obviously God didn't think we could make it on our own. Right? And I think over the course of human history, I think He's proved Himself right. Amen? Hey, I'm glad for my help meet. Glad that God gave me someone to lend strength to me. You see, that's what help is. It's to lend strength toward a common purpose. To lend means of deliverance or assistance in distress. You see, look at the things that are connected with God's help toward man. Are you still there in Hebrews 4 and verse 16? Look at it. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of, circle this word, grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, there it is again, to help in time of need. Did you notice the three things there that God connected with His help toward men? First of all, He connected grace with it. May I say this to you this morning? God's not obligated to you for anything whatsoever. We think He is obligated to do whatever we want Him to do at any time we want Him to do it. The thing that God's obligated to us for is when we cry out for Him and say, oh Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, save my soul. He's obligated to His Word to save that person's soul. You see, grace is giving us what we do not deserve. Look at your life. Look at all the things that God has graced you with. Look at all the wonderful things that He has graced us with. I didn't deserve those things. You see, His help involves grace. It has to encompass giving us help even though we may not deserve the help. Then it also encompasses, if you'll notice there, mercy. That's not giving us what we do deserve. And see, in God's divine action and God's divine purpose and work in our life, He incorporates in that help grace helping us when we probably don't deserve it. Because we get ourselves in such a pickle because of all of our foolish decisions. And then we cry out, Lord, help. It's kind of like jumping out of a plane without a parachute and then crying for help. Not much God can do at that point. You say, oh, yes, maybe He'll allow me to fall into a gigantic sponge. Maybe there's someone out there that's inventing a giant sponge and I just fall on it. Maybe that's going to happen. Maybe not. You see, a lot of times we want God to feel obligated to do something in our lives when we make foolish decisions. You see, grace is giving us what we do not deserve. Involved in His help is mercy. That's not giving us what we do deserve. You know, sometimes God's helping you by not doing some things for you. He seems to do a real good job about not giving a whole lot of money to some of us. Because He knows what will happen with most of us if we got a little dinero in our pocket. Come on, you can say amen right there. You know it's true. Hey, the reason He withholds some of it, He's helping you. Hey, By the way, there may be some jobs he's not allowing you to have. He's helping you. You see, sometimes he's not giving us what we do deserve, and then in grace he's giving us what we do not deserve. So he incorporates grace and incorporates mercy. Hey, listen, to some of us, he may be having mercy on us by not giving us more than what we have. Hey, some of us, he might be having mercy on us but not giving us a job maybe that we've been pursuing. Oh, I want that job. I want that job. Well, if God's not in it, you don't want that job. But did you notice the third thing that's involved in his help? It's not only his grace, not only his mercy, but a need. A need. We don't have to raise our hand. Anybody need help this morning? Would everybody agree with me that there is definitely grace, there's definitely mercy, and there's definitely a need? I don't know about you, but you know what I need this morning? I need help. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need help this morning. I need strength. I need deliverance. I need assistance in distress. You see, that need there has to be, is a want. It's an occasion for something. It's a state that requires supply or relief. I think when you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, you'll find those ingredients there. But if you'll flip back to Matthew 15, look at our story. Would everybody agree with me that there was a need? Come on now, talk to me. Was there a need? All right, look, verse 22, here's the need. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Time out. Everybody agree there's a need here? Everybody agree that this isn't just a little tiny need? This is a huge need. Her daughter is being tormented by a devil. Her daughter is being controlled. Her mind, her actions is being controlled by a devil. She's done everything that she knew how. She may have took her to church. She may have done everything that she knew how. Nothing was working. So you know what? She found out that there was an answer somewhere. And so she followed the lead, and guess where that lead led her to? It led her to the Lord. And there we have a need, a daughter vexed with a devil. Let me ask you this next question. Was there mercy? What did the verse say? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." Hey, boy, isn't it amazing? The Bible is so consistent. There's a need and there's mercy. That's two of the three ingredients that we read about in Hebrews chapter 4. Hey, we might be onto something here. Hey, we might be onto something here about getting God's help in our life. Hey, we are all here saying, "I have a need, but is there mercy available?" Look down, if you would, in verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Can you imagine Jesus there already knowing how she was going to respond? Presented the opportunity to display mercy. And he displayed mercy in the eyes of a bunch of Jewish people. Here he is, and here it was, this woman. He says, I can't give bread take bread from the children's table or the children's bread and cast it to dogs? She said, "Yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." By the way, some of you that have pets inside, your dog ever come and eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table? Hey, they don't get up in the chair with a fork and spoon. Right? You know what they're content with? They're content with the crumbs. Can I say to you, that's more than they are getting. The thing about it is, the crumbs, hey, it beats being left outside, doesn't it? To fend for yourself. And you have to go to the dumpster and find out what's in the dumpster. Hey, at least we get some crumbs, we're inside, amen? At least we're eating some crumbs from the master's table. You see, there was a need, there was mercy. May I say to you, number three, there was grace involved. Look, if you would, In verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now listen, here's the grace coming in. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Did she deserve the help? No. Did she get the help? Yes. Everything that we read about in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, came into play in this story. A need, mercy, grace. And you know what it resulted in? It resulted in help. That's what it resulted in. It resulted in, she said, Lord, help me. Let me ask you this. She made a request. Was the request granted? Yes. Why? Need was there. Mercy was there. Grace was there. It resulted in a request granted for help. Now the thing about it is, we get to supply the need, right? We have a need in our life this morning. You say, preacher, what's the need? Well, we're going to look at some needs here in just a moment. May I say this to you? There has not been one man or woman used of God that has not required heavenly help from God. You say, oh, name one. All right, I'm just going to name a little tiny one. Okay? Remember there was a guy named Noah? And God says, I want you to build an ark. Okay. What's an ark? Yeah, I want you to build an ark. Now, wait a minute. You know what God told him? He says, don't worry about it. Here are the specs. Here are the specs that you need. You know what God extended to him? Help! You know what? Never been a boat built before like that. So, did God expect him to do something that he could not do? No. You know what God did? God gave him told him what to do, gave him the specs, and then provided. And guess what? Plunk, 100-some-odd years later, we got an ark. You say, man, it sure took a long time. What modern-day equipment did they have? You see, Noah built an ark by the help of God. Let me give you another guy. Here's an old boy that finds himself, looks up there, and says, man, there's something glowing on that mountaintop. Goes up there and finds there's a bush that's burning, but it's not consumed. And on top of that, this bush begins to talk to him. And he then talks back. Finds out that it's God that's conversing to him and saying, I want to use you to go and deliver the people of God. Now, the first thing out of Moses' mouth is probably the same thing that would have been come out of our mouth. Well, I can't do that. How can I do that? But you understand, they're a big army, big nation. How am I going to lead the people of God that are captive? How am I going to lead them free? Who am I going to tell them sent me? Oh, just tell them I am that I am. And by the way, he says, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you some helps along the way. He said, you see that staff in your hand? Go ahead and toss that thing on the ground just a minute. Oh, a snake. Go ahead and pick it up. What's the staff again? Throw down snake. Staff, snake, snap. He said, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you 10 convincing points to preach that's going to help you through the deliverance. Now listen, most of us couldn't sit through a 10-point sermon. But you know old Pharaoh did. 10 points. You know, the thing about it is, you know how many points it took him to get the point? 10. And the last one was an incredible point. But you know what? He let the people go, though, didn't he? You know how Moses was able to do it? Help! He got help. Noah had help. Moses had help. David had help. Solomon had help. Paul had help. And guess what today? You and I need help. We need help. Let me give you a couple things to think about and we'll be done. Take your Bible, Psalm chapter 108. Psalm chapter 108. Everybody agree with me that David was a very needful individual and needed some help in his life? I want to show you something here he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Psalm 108, verse 12. Everybody find your place, Psalm 108, verse 12. Now listen, folks, there's gaboodles of those. If you don't know what that means, that's Southern talk for saying there's a lot. But we don't have time this morning to go through gaboodles. So I'm just going to kind of go through three or four of them and we're just going to kind of toss them all under the same heading. All right? Now, Psalm chapter 108 and verse 12. He says, David says, give us, what's your King James Bible say? Give us help from what? Oh boy, you know what we need help from? Trouble. Anybody in here got yourself in trouble? I'm talking about you in trouble right now. Hey, it doesn't have to be trouble with the law. I'm just saying you're just in trouble. Maybe you're in trouble financially. Maybe you're in trouble with family issues. Maybe you're in trouble with just some decisions. Maybe you're in trouble in your business. Maybe you're just in plain old trouble. Can I say to you today, there's help. See, that trouble is distress, it's disturbance, it's affliction. And yet there's mercy and grace to help in time of what? Okay? That means if you're in trouble, you've got a need. And guess what's available? Mercy and grace. And David had gotten himself in lots and lots of trouble. But wait a minute, now it wasn't just necessarily bad decisions that he made. Listen, sometimes we create our own trouble and sometimes people create it for us. Don't you like that kind? Don't you just love when people create trouble for you? The thing about it is, I don't necessarily like trouble, but it's going to come. So you know what you do? You deal with it. That's what you do. You just hunker up, deal with it, because that's part of it. You say, why, God? Why am I going through this trouble? I don't know. If I had all those answers and stuff. Hey, the thing about it is God is allowing you and I to go through our trouble for a reason. See, the thing about it is you can't serve God with a troubled spirit. See, some this morning have a troubled spirit. Over what, preacher? Over not understanding why you're going through the trouble. So that trouble creates a troubled spirit. And that troubled spirit then causes them to back away from God. You can't serve God with a troubled spirit. You say, how do I get out of having a troubled spirit? You need help. Because you can't do it by yourself. So you say, where do I find that help? Come boldly before the throne of grace. That means you have access at any time that you want to come, and there you have the need, and guess what you're going to find? Mercy and grace, and both of those combined provides help for you and I. You see, we can't serve with a troubled spirit. May I say, you can't minister to others with a troubled spirit. You can't minister to others. You know why you can't minister to others with a troubled spirit? Because you're focused on your trouble, right? And so all of a sudden, your vision now is no longer worldwide. You get tunnel vision because you begin to focus on your problem, on your trouble, or the things you're going through, and you never look beyond that. So you can't minister to others with a troubled spirit. May I say to you, you can't develop a Bible home with a troubled spirit. Can't develop one. Because if your focus is always on the trouble, then what happens is something's going to give. You know, you're going to neglect something. And you'll find out that whatever you neglect, that particular thing will come back and find you one day. It'll come back and find you through your neglect. So here, where do we need help? May I say to you, David said he needed help from trouble. Anybody got trouble this morning? God says there's help available. There's strength available. There's assistance available. But you know what? You're going to have to do like this woman did. She came and said, Lord, help me. And listen, the gall. You know what Jesus did? Said not a word to her. Acts like she didn't even say anything. Now, wait a minute. That ever happened to you? Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, I'm here. Hear my prayer. And he said not a word. And here's what most of us did. That's when we shut her down right there. Now you know what you do? Importunity. You keep knocking and you keep knocking and you keep knocking. See, the thing about it is, you know what? This woman didn't get offended. Huh? Who's he think he is not saying anything to me? Now you know what, Brother Garner? She had a need, my friend. And that need drove her to the Savior. And she stayed after him and stayed after him and stayed after him. Even though he never spoke to her a word. He said, hi, should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? But Lord, true, true. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Man, I'm telling you, can you imagine the apostles standing around? You know what that was like? That was like taking a wet rag and hitting them right in the face with it. Wow. I never thought about that. She did. You know why? Because she was driven by a need. There was a trouble there. Boy, that need got met. May I say to you, number two, look, we're not very far from Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119, if you would, 173. Psalm 119, verse 173. Not only is there help available from our trouble, according to David told us in Psalm 108, he says, hey, help us from our trouble. Give us help from our trouble. Look at Psalm 119, 173. Let thine hand, does your King James Bible say, help me? Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precept. Now, wait a minute. Here's this situation. David said, give us help from trouble. May I say to you, number two, you need help to follow. You and I need help to follow that book and to follow the Savior and to fulfill every aspect of Christianity. You know, Jesus, I've said this, it seems like 100 times here lately. But Jesus looked point blank at his disciples and said, either you forsake father, mother, brother, sister, yea, and your own life also, or you cannot be my disciple. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You know what happened when he spoke those words? Many of them, the Bible said, walked with him no more. They didn't walk with him anymore after the teachings and the sayings and the preaching got tough. They walked with him no more. May I say to you this morning, yeah, the preaching's going to get tough. The teaching's going to get tough. But may I say to you, isn't it worth it doing some sacrificing for the Savior for souls? Isn't it worth doing some sacrificing for your family's sake, for the souls and salvation of people that you love and care for? Of course it is. You see, we need help to follow. And he says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. You know what? I think the psalmist did. The psalmist looked. This is what God expects. These are the precepts. These are the things that the rules that are imposing that the Scripture says that I need to be following as a conduct of Christianity. He said, boy, you know what I'm going to need to do this? I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help to do this. You see, we're going to need help to follow, to fulfill the rules of discipleship. Well, I'm telling you, if Jesus laid down the criteria of discipleship today, if he says, hey, preacher, move over just a minute. I want to say something to this congregation. And Jesus stood here in this pulpit and laid down the criteria of discipleship and then said, okay, I want to lift of hands. How many of you want to be my disciple? You know how many hands would probably go up? Very few. See, this is about the time we ought to all hang our head and say, you know what? Shame on us. Shame on us. After what Christ did for me, I can't even fulfill some little obligation, some little commitment or responsibility that he's asking me to do. He's not going to ask me to do something that's not in my capability of doing it. See, I need help to follow, to fulfill the rules of discipleship. And those rules, in a nutshell, is forsaking, and clinging to the Lord. You see, I'm going to need help to follow, to maintain a right testimony before the world. You know, the world is constantly jerking on our coattail, isn't it? So you know what I'm going to need help with? I'm going to need help to maintain a right testimony before the Lord. I'm going to need help from the Lord to, listen, to make a covenant with mine eyes, that mine eyes might not look upon something that would pervert my mind or my heart. You see, I'm going to have help to follow, to maintain a right testimony. May I say, I'm going to have help to follow Bible mandates for Christianity. Say, what are those mandates? How about love your enemies? How about love the people? By the way, didn't Jesus teach? He said, if you only love those that love you, what have you accomplished? He said, you want to accomplish something? You want to depict sincere Christianity? Love those that hate you and despisefully use you. Pray for them. Say, what is that? That's called true Christianity. How about forgiving those that are debtors? How about forgiving those maybe that have offended us or have spoken ugly to us or that have done something in our lives against us? You know what it tells us to do? Forgive them. Peter said, 7 times? And Jesus said, no. I don't say unto thee 7 times, 70 times 7. In other words, unlimited. So you mean tell me, preacher, somebody sins against me or offends me and they come to me and ask me to forgive them, I'm supposed to forgive them? Yeah, sure are. If we went back and collected all the sins that you and I have sinned and put them all together that we've sinned against the Father, and we just gathered them all together, and He says, now wait a minute, 7 times. You know where most of us would be on our way to today? Hell. You see, the grace of God is unlimited. It's unlimited. You know what the help is for the believer is unlimited. Remember where Jesus taught His disciples that if a man smite thee on the cheek, you're to turn to him what? The other, you say, yeah, but if I turn the other, he'll smite me on that one. Yeah, he may. And then you know what you do? Then you turn to the one he just smote again. You say, I can't do that. Then you cannot be my disciple. Pray for those who use you. Nobody likes to be used. But though that is sincere, true Christianity, and you will be faced with it. Take your Bible, go to Mark chapter 9 quickly. Mark chapter 9. Okay, Mark 9, verse 20. Mark 9 and verse number 20. The Bible says, and they brought him, and we'll find out who that is in just a second, unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him. Here's a young boy, full of the devil, gnashed on himself, tore himself, foamed at the mouth. When you can go back and read this up in verse 18. And then he says, they brought him to Jesus, and straightway the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Don't think there might be a need here? Okay. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So what does that mean, preacher? That means the devil has no mercy. He's been this way as a child. You better be careful. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and, what does your Bible say? Help us. You know, we're going to need help. We're going to need help to fight the devil. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now we don't have time to go read the rest of the story, but you know what happened? Boy got free to the devil. Need was there. Mercy was there. Grace was there. Guess what came? Help and deliverance. Help and deliverance was there. You see, when he attacks your family, you know what you're going to need? Help. When the devil attacks your body, you know what you're going to need? Help. When the devil attacks our church, you know what we're going to need? Help. From where? From the divine source. You see, Satan's grip was so powerful for the apostles, they could not break it. So you know what they needed? Help. They needed divine help. Let me show you one more. Acts 16. Acts 16. Not only do we need help from trouble, not only do we help to follow and help to fight the devil, but may I say to you, number four, look at verse number six, or chapter 16, verse 9. Acts 16, verse 9. The Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. Hey, come over here into Macedonia. Boy, you know what? Jobs are plenteous over here. Hey, if you live on the West Coast, come over here to Texas. We've got lots of jobs over here. He said, come over here. You know what? Not only is the jobs, housing market's great. Pay scale's great. It's not what he said. He said, come over. He said, come unto Macedonia. Look what he says here. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us. Kind of sounds like they needed some help finding Jesus, didn't they? Some of you this morning, it's not necessary that you need help in trouble or help following or help fighting the devil. Some of you this morning need some help to find Jesus. Here's a man in Macedonia. Come over here. Come over here. You know what he needed? Help. He needed help. You see, he's looking for you. Jesus is looking for you. The problem is, we're not looking for him. You see, he's looking for you. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's looking for you. You see, some this morning just need help finding Jesus. You see, can I say to you that God uses men to help you? You see, there's some this morning that are here today because someone came and knocked on your door. And you opened the door and they reached in their pocket and they pulled something like this out of their pocket. A little New Testament. And they opened the New Testament and showed you out of that New Testament how to have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. And there you accepted that gift of eternal life, got born into the family of God. You know what God used? He uses people to help you. You know what this man was saying? Come over here and help us. We need somebody. We need some people to come over and help us. You see, God uses people to help us. May I say to you also, God uses the church to help you? Yeah, he uses the church to help you. See, maybe some of you, there wasn't a knock at your door, but maybe for some of you, there was one of these little blue tracks like this that somebody left in your door and thought, you know what, I've been thinking about church. I think I'm going to go over here today. Do you know for sure if your dad can go to heaven? Well, I'm not really sure about that. But you know, I'm going to go over here and just check that church out. So you come, you hear the gospel, people get born again. Why? Because God uses people to help you. God uses church to help you. And may I say, God uses his word to help you. Oh, I like the Word of God, Isaiah 55. Hey, when the Word of God goes forth, the promise is it shall not return void. It will go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. You see, the help I'm talking about, you'll not find online. The help I'm talking about this morning, you're not going to go home this afternoon and check your Facebook page and find this kind of help. You're not going to find this on a text message. May I say to you that the kind of help I'm talking about here, you're not going to find on a TV program or a radio program or in a magazine or a book. The type of help I'm talking about this morning, dear friend, is divine help. Whatever area of need you have, this kind of help will be found at the throne of grace. You got the need. God's got the mercy and grace to help in time of your need. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many are here this morning? Say, preacher, I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know if the trumpet sounded and the voice of the archangel